I'm Mark Middleton, along with Bill Schaefer. This is Growing Bolder. Our next guest is considered among the world's top experts on volunteerism. In fact, this is the guy who actually coined the term helper's high, which is now used everywhere in popular culture to describe the many benefits that one gets from helping others.
And he's done so much more than just that, too. He's initiated and led the passage of laws that have had a significant impact on our society. He's written several important books. As a matter of fact, his latest is called The Healing Power of Doing Good. And you ought to check it out because it outlines the emotional health benefits that volunteers get. So let's welcome Alan Lux to the program. Alan, how are you?
I am fine. Thanks for welcoming me.
I want to thank you for volunteering to be on the program. How do you decide where to spend your time?
Personally, I still volunteer, even though I run a program at Fordham University which trains others. And I do a whole bunch of stuff. People say to me, well, you're training others. Do you volunteer yourself? I still do, because you really get that helper's high. And so I'll come home from work, and there's a little shelter near me, and it has a bunch of homeless people. And at night, it's difficult for them. Where are they going to go? The shelter isn't the safest place. So churches and synagogues in the area where I live in New York City will provide a place for them to sleep, give them a hot meal, so they'll have a safe place. And then back the next day, we try to get them jobs, etc. But they need people to cook the meals. They need people to help stay with them. They need people to be there during the night. And I do that, and then I run back to work the next morning, and people say, aren't you tired? And I tell them this is the truth, the wholesome truth. I get strength. When you're there, when you're reacting to someone else, and you have the feedback, and you get the smiles, you get the hugs, it gives you physical strength. And this is the evidence I have, besides the book I've written and all sorts of medical research, in the 30-odd years I've been doing this program. So that's right, it's a long time. Every person I've dragged in to help me, because two people sleep over in these programs, every friend has kept on because they feel so good. So the whole challenge for our country, for retired people, for all people, is to consider, to try at one time this what we call personal contact helping, helping someone on a one-on-one, on a very personal level, getting that feedback, and then just see, do I feel better afterward?
You know, I don't want to be the devil's advocate here because I totally get what you're saying. But if the main selling point to helping others is that you're really helping yourself, is that in any way contrary to the spirit of volunteerism?
No, there was a famous book by Richard Dawkins called The Selfish Gene. And that is, we do things to help ourselves at the end. And the question was, when we had cavemen and they had to keep a fire in front of the cave to keep away the animals, they had to cooperate with each other. So therefore, they were always constantly helping each other. They were volunteering with each other. They had to take care of those fellow members of the cave who got sick. They had to help them. Why? Because they needed everybody to keep the flame going. It's the same thing. It's built into our genes that we need to help others, because by helping others, we feel good about ourselves. And we need that good feeling, because it's a way to combat, and this goes into the research now, but it's a way to combat the stress that can really hurt us in so many ways, physically as well as emotionally.
Hey, Alan, can you give us some idea of how great the need in our society is for volunteers and volunteerism? I think most of us really have no idea.
Well, people say, from my many years working in the field, most people you ask will tell you they do want to volunteer, but how do I get started, Alan? And what's the right kind of volunteering for me? It's good questions, and I want to hasten to add that two people can do the same kind of volunteering, and one person will love it, feel great, and one person will hate it. And an example, which I have in the book, is two people go into a nursing home, two women, and afterward they sit by the bed, they read to these women, and afterwards they go out, and one woman said, this is the greatest experience I ever had. As I'm reading to her, the patient kept stroking my hand. I feel so good. I feel so alive. I feel wonderful. The woman says, I almost want to cry. And the other woman says, it's the worst thing I ever had, because the nursing home smelled like I wanted to run out. And when we try to, we teach about volunteering, we try to explain to the second woman, it's just that when we meet people, sometimes we resonate positively with someone, sometimes we don't resonate positively with a certain situation. It's not that they're a bad volunteer, it's just that that situation wasn't right for them. So to answer your question, the first thing we tell people about volunteering is to think, what might interest you? Often people want to volunteer in a health area because they have a problem or someone in their family has a problem. They may want to volunteer because they have a certain situation in their community. Something may be interest them. And then all you have to do today, go on the computer and you hit volunteer. They'll often ask you for your zip code, and then I will pop up at different volunteer organizations in your area, and then you begin to choose. The only thing is, there are certain, to get the feel-good sensations, some volunteering will just ask you to donate clothes. That's bad. I don't want to debunk that anyway, or just writing a check. The volunteering to produce the relaxation, the health benefits, to reduce stress, has to be the following. One, you're having personal contact with between one and three people. You get feedback. You have a chance to see how they're appreciating you. And you do it on a continual basis. And this is the hard part. This is the very hard part. Of about an average of about 4 hours a month. That's a lot of time. You say, well, 1 hour a week is not that bad. But 4 hours a month is a lot of time. But those people who do it, those people who do the 4 hours a month, have personal contact, do it on a regular basis, about 90% report what we call the helper's high, and that is a reduced stress and a greater sense of feeling good about themselves.
Well, Alan, we certainly appreciate what you've done for decades. You certainly are a guy who walks the walk and talks the talk. His new book, folks, is called The Healing Power of Doing Good. This for the man who actually came up with the term helper's high. It's a way that you can not only help yourself, but equally, if not more importantly, help others out there. And, you know, folks, we're all children of the 60s in one form or another. We all thought we could change the world for the better back then. We still have the numbers. The question we must ask ourselves today, do we still have the resolve? Can we be more like Alan Lux? Be sure to check out his book, The Healing Power of Good. Thanks, Alan. We appreciate your time.